No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People Their Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host, Marilia Duffels, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So feel free to call in and be part of the conversation at 888-627-6008. Tonight we have a very special guest, an old friend of the show and just an amazing person. First, let me introduce Marilia. Marilia, how are you? What's going on in life?
Doing great.
Okay, good. I can barely hear you, Marilia. I don't know what's going on, but anyway, maybe we get this sound turned up on Marilia. But Joe, thanks for being on our show. Tonight we have Joe Madison, the Black Eagle. He's got one of the most popular radio shows on Sirius XM talk shows. He does 3 hours every morning. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. And we're so excited to have him with us and to talk about what's going on right now. Mr. Madison is on a hunger strike. It's been 27 days, right, Joe?
Well, today, it is 27. I started November 8th.
Yeah.
It's maybe about 27. Yeah. It's very close.
So how are you?
December 8th will be the 30 day mark, the 1 month mark.
So how are you doing physically? Are you okay?
Well, the pounds are starting to come off, Mike. Well, first of all, thanks for asking, and I should say thank you for having me on and talking about the reason for the hunger strike. The fatigue is starting to fit in. Getting headaches off and on, but my gait is not as wide or as strong as it was almost 30 days ago. My intention is to continue. It's day 28. My wife just heard. She says day 28. I intend to continue as long as it takes to get the vote on at least two of these anti-voter suppression bills. The freedom, as you know, as a U.S. senator. The Freedom to Vote Act is one, and then of course the John R. Lewis Voter Advancement Act is the second one.
Yeah, and these bills have been before the Senate for a while now, and as we know, John Lewis was just an amazing man. Not only was he a great civil rights icon, but you knew him. He was just a wonderful person. You know, I was up on Capitol Hill a few years ago with my intern, and my intern was from Georgia, and Karen encouraged him to stop into Lewis's office because Lewis represented him and just say hello, leave a message with the receptionist. Well, John Lewis came out took the kid into his office and talked to him for 20 minutes. And, you know, and he was just such a gracious and amazing human being. I just had to add that. But these are both very important pieces of legislation. And what do you think's holding them up?
Well, clearly the Republican Party, I should, and the senators, maybe with one exception, is the main culprit. And let me tell you why I started. I'm, as you know, like you, somewhat of a history buff. And the one thing that bothered me was the last time that they tried to break the filibuster and couldn't even find 10 Republican senators. It took me back to the Rutherford B. Hayes Tilden compromise. And this was, of course, a few years after after African Americans, former African American slaves, got their right to vote, Senator. And, you know, the whole Reconstruction era was very successful for African Americans. They elected the members to the United States Senate, to the House of Representatives, to state houses. They formed unit colleges. They got voted themselves into education, Board of Education. And all of that was due to the vote. But it turned the life of former Confederate citizens, and particularly plantation owners, upside down. Now people who were slaves just 7 years or so ago are now in Congress in the House of Representatives. Rutherford B. Hayes cut a deal to get elected because his election was challenged. The popular vote, sounds familiar, was challenged. It was thrown into the House of Representatives. And the compromise that he reached with the Southern members of the House of Representatives was to remove the federal troops that protected newly freed slaves, protected their right to vote. Well, as soon as that compromise was reached, the troops were removed, and all hell broke loose. There was assassinations, lynchings. The Ku Klux Klan was formed. In South Carolina, they organized rifle clubs. Even our allies, white allies, they were killed. And that hell lasted almost 100 years until the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Even the Supreme Court was impacted. Plessy versus Ferguson. You had state rights where voter suppression at that time might have been the grandfather clause. We had to prove your grandfather was a free man.
Right.
It may have been poll taxes. The history is there. Well, I saw the same thing happening in what we referred to, Senator, as the end of the second Reconstruction. So what has happened is that the Republican Party has now decided it's going to go after the vote. And it started with Shelby versus Holden, and where they stripped the heart out of the 65 Voting Rights Act. And then legislation, boilerplate legislation, was literally written for state representatives to challenge the votes in Arizona, Georgia, and other states to suppress the votes. That's when I decided that with demonstrations, I decided to do something in solidarity with what you were doing with your program, demonstrations, arrests, marches, and I just felt that someone had to say to the United States Senate that there is at least an individual and other individuals who are adamant that you are not going to put our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren in the same predicament that our forefathers were put in. And that's when I decided, you know, and not to be melancholy about it, but I started thinking about my friend, brother, mentor, Dick Gregory, who you
know. Yeah.
You know, what would Dick do? And yeah. His son and I, Christian Gregory, and I got together, and he said, Joe, you know, Pops would be on a hunger strike in a minute. Yeah. And I said, you're right. And that's when I decided that I would pledge not to eat any solid food. I've been through one or two with Dick until they either do one of three things: eliminate the filibuster, pass the Freedom to Vote Act, or the John Lewis bill. And you're right about John Lewis. After Shelby versus Holden, John Lewis wrote, if I'm not mistaken, the first 30 pages of the bill that passed the House. Both of these bills have passed the House. You can't filibuster in the House. And now it's been, now the Republicans can't even find 10 senators, not 10. And then if we go back to, and if we go back to George W. Bush's presidency, I think it was 2006, 2007, 98 U.S. senators voted to extend the Voting Rights Act to 20 years. Now, where did those senators go? And this is nothing more than to suppress not just the black vote, but the students, the disabled, you name it, elderly. And this is what they intended to do almost immediately after Trump lost the election.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, Joe. Marilia, do you have a question? Marilia has been a Republican who's been appointed to positions by two Republican presidents, and she's now an independent because of Donald Trump. So do you have a question, Marilia, for Joe?
Hi, Joe. First of all, can you hear me?
Yeah, just barely. You're very low.
Whoa. Okay.
Sorry. Can't hear you now, dear. No, can't hear a word. Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. God bless Internet Radio. Go ahead. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, slightly here. Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Marilia. What's your question? You're still fading in and out. We're gonna have to. You're gonna have to work on your microphone. But let me ask you, Joe.
Yeah, I do this for 4 hours a day.
Yeah, you do it 4 hours a day.
So anybody, if she can ask the question, I'll be happy to, or have somebody repeat it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You can text it to me and I'll ask him, Marilia. But while we're waiting for that, let me just say that in The Guardian this week, Joe, they ran an article about how voting rights advocates went to the White House and were upset with the president because he didn't have a strategy to pass these bills and he didn't have a strategy to end the filibuster. So what do you think about that? Should he be doing more?
Well, I was one of those individuals who on two occasions, People for the American Way, our good friend Ben Jealous, has led several protests in front of the White House, and thousands have shown up. It hasn't gotten as much attention, thank God, for The Guardian and individuals like April Ryan with Griot and others, And thank God for the internet and social media and your show. It picked up steam. It started off with a small group. They got arrested. Then Martin Luther King III and his granddaughter were part of it. And they should be, because I'll be quite candid with you. I've not heard a word from the White House about my protest. And I think these individuals are absolutely right. If he has a strategy, he certainly hasn't announced it. He has expressed his concern as it relates to the filibuster. But the reality, you know, what is his strategy to get one of these two bills passed? I do not know. And no one from the White House has come on my show or any other show for that matter to discuss this. What we've heard is, oh, I support everyone's right to vote. I'm concerned about voter suppression, because again, this is happening in state legislatures, and it certainly is impacting gerrymandering. And if I'm not mistaken, I think there are right now 19 states that have impacted voter suppression laws and signed them into law. Michigan right now, Michigan passed a bill and thank God the governor vetoed it, but then the Republican state legislature, they have some cranky, clear law that they now can override the governor's veto by putting it on the ballot as a referendum, and they only need 4% of voter petition signatures. And they've raised millions of dollars. There are now 400 bills pending in 49 states related to voter suppression. And the sad thing is, you know, it suppresses everybody's vote, no matter what party you belong to, because for example, some states won't allow student ID. That's one example. Won't allow drive-through voting. So a disabled veteran who I heard from who said, I'm a Republican, and I can't get out of, you know, it's very difficult for me to go to a polling place, but they made it easy in my state so that I could drive up, a poll worker can come out, you hand me the ballot, I fill it out, the poll worker takes it back, comes out with a receipt to show me that it was cast. It impacts me, senior citizens, in some cases. They won't, you know, so I'll be honest with you. I am very disappointed and that that President Biden has not really put the hammer down that this has to be passed, and that one of these two bills have to be passed. And I have heard from several senators, including yourself, even though, you know, as people know, our senator is a shadow senator, but by God, just think if you were represented the people of Washington, D.C., that would be one more vote that we would have.
Well, you know, we say that. I just wrote an editorial for the Washington Post a couple of weeks ago, and I said that. I said, look, if you're about keeping a woman's right to choose, if you're about voting rights, if you're about civil rights, no matter what your issue is, if it's on a liberal agenda, two more liberal Democrats in the United States Senate would be a big help. You know, let's get two more, because you know, the Republicans stand against us because it's two more senators. Well, we ought to be pushing for the same reason, because it's two more senators. And imagine what a difference it would make. Imagine if we didn't have to pander to Joe Manchin to try to get him to you know, stand up and act like a Democrat or a Christian cinema. That would make a big difference. So, Marilia, can we hear you now? Do you have a question? No, I can't hear you. Type your question to me and I'll ask it. I'm sorry. This is, you know, Marilia is my new co-host and she's been on for a few weeks and we have these technical problems from time to time on internet radio.
We it's live radio and I've been doing
live radio. And you know what? And you're so kind, Joe, to mention our show because your show has such a major impact. I listen to it all the time. You're amazing. You have an amazing staff. You know, I want to know what you think. Is this a matter of racism? Have we pushed race under the covers for the past 50 years and now it's coming back out and we have to fight this fight? Or is this a partisan divide that keeps us?
Well, I can answer your question with the current event that happened just the Saturday, yesterday. It apparently didn't get a lot of attention, but you can go online. I think over 100-plus Promise Boys, I believe that's the organization. I'm a little reluctant to go to my handheld device because I've got you on. I don't want to lose you.
No.
But they're actually what they marched. This was a group of over 100 white supremacists who actually marched on the Capitol Saturday. And again, this. So when you ask the question, yes, it is one of the cornerstones of voter suppression. Remember what I said, what happened in the Rutherford B. Hayes-Tilden compromise. The Southern representatives, the former Confederate representatives, their world was turned upside down. Former slaves are now members of Congress. They're now a majority black representation in state legislators, state legislators, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's what flipped or ended the first Reconstruction. And it's no mistake that what his people went after was to maintain the big lie that he won the election in November. There is right now a video and a article on Mother Jones, if you can get it, Miss Duffels and Senator Brown, if you can get it. It is a video of a former Trump aide telling a group of wealthy, dark money donors, and that's one of the things the bill eliminates is dark money, that they started back in April with the Heritage Foundation. They formed a group, offshoot of the Heritage Foundation called Heritage Action, and they told Republican state legislators, don't worry, we'll write a boilerplate bill for you to keep the big lie alive that Donald Trump actually won. That's what started this, and it's no mistake that they chose states where there the black population particularly was a key factor, like Pennsylvania and Georgia, and then of course Arizona with the Hispanic vote. So the answer to your question, it is obvious. And again, that's why I said, look, just as solid food, Senator Brown, just as solid food is essential to maintain life, the right to vote is essential to maintain democracy in this country. And so that's when I said November 8th, that I would make that sacrifice, because people have sacrificed more than food to get the right to vote. Hell, they had women in the suffrage movement that they did hunger strikes in the United Kingdom and also here in the United States. So people have sacrificed a lot more than food.
Well, we have a caller on line one, a guy I think we both know, Joe, Keith Silver. Keith, are you with us? Keith's a Washingtonian who's been a strong advocate for voting rights and was also a friend of Dick Gregory's. Keith, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Hey, to our great senator, the gentleman from Washington, D.C., Senator Michael Brown and Marilia, and to my friend, Mr. Madison. Hey, Joe, how's everybody?
Everybody, Keith, I'm doing great, yeah. And thank you. I'm glad you called in.
Listen, gentlemen and Marilia, I have a question, Joe. And do you have any sage advice for the folk who may want to join you for a day or two or even a week or so on a fast in solidarity to your effort? My question is, do you have what steps should be taken? Did you check with your physicians, or you just jumped out there and jumped on a fast? Did you take any preliminary steps we ought to consider if we want to join you in this effort of solidarity?
Well, let me first say, one, my effort, as I mentioned, is in solidarity, Keith, with all types of activities, petitions. I've heard from former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. He has organized a petition drive, and as I mentioned, people from the United Way, and then Melanie Campbell. She has had demonstrations, and several women have been arrested at the Supreme Court. Our friend Al Sharpton has had a major demonstration, you might remember. So what I decided was to up the game and do this in solidarity. Number two, as you know, and people should know, Keith was a very close friend and confidant of Dick Gregory. And, you know, I always tell people, everybody can do something. You mentioned other folk going on a hunger strike. I just got word last week that 40 young people now get this, Senator Brown and Marilia, 40 young people in the state of Arizona are joining the hunger strike. They're going to have their own hunger strike. And of course, I've asked them to make sure that they put the heat on Senator Sinema. First of all, this is not something you take lightly. As I mentioned, almost 30 days, there's a lot of fatigue. Their body goes through changes. I started off at 194 on November 8th. I'm now down to 179.
Wow.
As of this morning. But the point is not about weight loss. The point is to recognize that, whether it's a hunger strike, petition drive, arrest, demonstrations, one of the things most people have going for them that John Lewis didn't have when he tried to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge was the social media. And so what I'm saying is I'm targeting Sinema, Manchin, and Schumer, and I would also say that there has to be, God, I would hope so, at least 10 moderate Republicans that would support the majority leader and protect our voting rights and not allow Donald Trump to control this political situation. So yes, I have a wife of 40 plus years. There was no way that she was going to sign off on this. Sherry was not going to sign off on this unless I first got approval and checked out with my physician, and that wasn't he said I was going to do it anyway, but he said go ahead, but recognize that your body's going to go through some major changes. And you know, like I said, look, people have died for this vote, and so I just tell everybody that it's not my job to encourage you to do what I'm doing, but it is my responsibility, your responsibility, Ms. Duffley's, Morelia's responsibility, and Senator Brown and others to do something. Everybody can do something.
Yeah. Well, we admire you so much for what you're doing. And I don't want to digress here, but I just want to mention that one of the Republicans that you probably could have gotten unfortunately passed today, Bob Dole, who was not a guy that I often agreed with, died at the age of 98. So we just want to mention that. I didn't agree with him much, but he was honest and true. And, unfortunately, I don't think that we see as many of those kind of Republicans anymore.
Yeah.
He was in.
And
he
voted. That's right. And he supported voting rights. And if he were in the Senate, I think he would be that kind of senator that would understand that this is. Can I say something else? You know, another person you talk about. If when we were younger, if you'd have told me that I would have been doing a talk show across the country, and one of my frequent guests was the former CIA director, national intelligence director, I think he was with the CIA, a retired lieutenant general, Clapper. I mean, you know, I would have said, you got to be kidding.
Yeah.
He came on the show and said, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Because if one of these two bills don't get passed, our adversaries will be pleased. They are hoping that these voter suppression bills, these anti voter suppression bills, do not check what's going on in the states, because they understand the significance of citizens having free, unencumbered election. And he said, look, Russia, China, and he said, and not just those two, but other adversaries are just hoping that this fails. So it is very clear, and I asked him this, so this means it's a national security issue. And he confirmed that. It's even a national security issue.
Well, and we had a friend. I know this was somebody that Marilia knew, and that was Representative Jack Kemp, former cabinet secretary. And Jack Kemp said to me, he said, that's why I'm for D.C. That's why I'm for giving D.C. a vote, is because when I went to China, the first thing the Chinese said to me is, don't lecture us on human rights when you don't even let the people of your capital city have representation. So, you know, Marilia used to work. I'm sorry, Marilia's mic's not on because she used to work with Jack Kemp, and I'm sure she would have a lot to add. But one thing that Marilia wants to know, and I kind of hear you now, Marilia, so maybe you can.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Speak for yourself. Ask Joe a question. Oh, no, you just went out again, man. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, she's concerned that there isn't more moral recognition for what you're doing. Why do you think that is? Why don't you think people are out there, why this isn't more notice?
Well, you know, I can say to you that I really appreciate the fact that Don Lemon at CNN has talked about it. Joy Reid over at MSNBC, I've been on their program to talk about it. And also Howard Stern, of all people. Howard Stern.
Really?
Yes, I mean, he has kicked in. Now, then Charles Blow at the Black Cable News Network. There have been many, many interviews that have been done like this one. Now, if it is about attention or comments or positions or editorials from members of Congress, I can't answer that. I really honestly can't answer that. But I can say this, that if they do not, if let me put it in the positive, Senator, and Marilia, if they pass one of these bills, then I can almost say certainly, and I think you guys' audience would agree, that this would be one of the most favorable bills that is out there, that they would get recognition. Just the opposite will happen. But I cannot answer the question as to why it has taken so long for them to respond, other than they have theirs. And you, both of you, know how the legislative process works. They have an agenda, they have a schedule. But I have said to the president publicly, I've said to on my show time and again, that Schumer would not be the majority leader in the Senate, and President Biden and Kamala Harris would not be in the White House if it had not been for our vote. And it all starts there. It all starts there. I know Build Back Better is important. I suspect that they'll get there, even though Manchin seems to want to play God with it or King with it, and Sinema wants to be his queen.
Yep.
But I believe it'll get there. But it all begins with the vote. If our vote is what gave the President of the United States, that we put that pen in his hand to sign these bills, particularly the first infrastructure bill. There was opposition to that, but he set an agenda. He had a strategy. It worked. He has to do the same thing for this. And if he doesn't, I suspect the reaction will be very negative. And let me tell you, the House will flip. The Senate will flip, and in 24, the White House, if Biden decides to run for reelection, he's going to need our votes, these votes that are where there's an attempt to suppress them right now.
Well, that's the one thing that amazes me, Joe, is that I see people in 2024, if none of this gets done, you know, I see the Democrats sitting back in 2024 and saying, what happened? How did Trump get reelected? How did we get him back? You know, I mean, because we really have to do the work, right, to get it done. And I don't know if there's a difference with this with the younger generation, but my grandmother used to dress up every election day, Joe, and put on her hat and her gloves and her stockings and go out and vote. She voted every election because she remembered a time when she was not allowed to vote. That's how old she was. She was born in the 1880s. So she remembers a time when women weren't allowed to vote, and she never missed an opportunity to vote, and she made realize that.
As you well know, thank God for the suffrage movement.
You're
thank
right,
God for
exactly.
the demonstrations. And by the way, that move and again, and so your grandmother got to vote. While your grandmother got to vote, my grandmother's
right.
generations couldn't vote. I mean, can think about this. Hell, man, I was 16 years old, and 15 years old. I can remember that my relatives in Mississippi could lose right. their jobs if they voted. So understand then why I mentioned, look, I remember when Viola Luizzo, a white mother of what, five, who out of Detroit saw what happened on the Edmund Pettus Bridge, drove down to Selma, Alabama to transport voting rights students and marchers up from Selma to the Montgomery Airport, and was shot. She was shot in her car. Goodman, Schwarner, and Cheney, they were students. Right. This was on a summer vacation, who went to Mississippi and ended up being murdered and buried in an unearthen dam. And John Lewis, who was almost beaten to death. So everybody can do something. And that's why I said, again, I go back to this. I know what I'm doing. I understand that. Let me give you, and this is very personal, but I'll share it with you because I've talked about it on my show. When I decided to do this, I talked to several people that I love and respect, and of course my wife Sherry, and she said, you know, well, you know, we got to talk to the doctor, and so. We went to the doctor's office. The doctor questioned me, why would you do this? Now, it's interesting. He was from Iraq. He was Iraqi. Hmm. And I said, well, you being from Iraq, you know the importance of voting, of not being able to vote, and having a dictator run a country. And so he went ahead. He did the exam. And then he signed off. And we were in the car in the parking lot, and we were getting ready to pull off. And my wife said to me, she said, look, are you telling me you're going to go ahead with this? I said, yes. So you're saying to me that you are willing to die for this? And I simply looked at her, and I one word. And I said, yes. Mm. And that ended the conversation. Somebody has to, I mean, we all have to be committed, or our children and grandchildren are going to be, and great grandchildren are going to be put in a position. And I do not want them, you know, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, when historians write about this, I don't want them asking, well, what did you do?
Right. I fully understand that. And, you know, I say that to people all the time about D.C. voting rights. I say, you know, it's not like you're going to enfranchise 700,000 people. You're not. You're going to enfranchise millions and millions and millions of Washingtonians to come, because once D.C. becomes a state, they will never take that status away from us. So you'll be enfranchising your children and your grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. So, but thank God for brave people like you, Joe. I remember listening to John Lewis say that his parents begged him to stay away from Martin Luther King. They said, Martin Luther King's a troublemaker. He's only going to get you in trouble if you work with him. And you can understand that. You can understand that as a parent, how parents would be concerned. But thank God that he had the courage that he had and the courage of his convictions. And thank God that you have those current.
Yeah. Now we walk around with T-shirts that say good trouble.
Right. Good trouble. Right. That's how I ended my editorial. Let's make good trouble, right? Because he showed us all the way, and you do that every day on your show too. And let me just say that in an act of solidarity with you, Joe, because statehood needs to be part of the narrative for voting rights in the District of Columbia, then I'm going to join with you in solidarity, and I'm gonna fast every Monday. I'm a diabetic, so I worry about fasting too much, but I've talked to my doctor about it, and he's okay with it. So every Monday, I'm gonna fast with you as long as you fast. And I encourage people that listen to our radio show on BBS Radio and listen to us on WEAC Radio, we're now on WEAC, that they do the same thing. Let's see if we can't get enough people across America like you and those brave students in Arizona and other people to do this until we make it happen, because you're right. Even the founding fathers, Jefferson and Madison, if you read the Federalist Papers, they said the most important thing was voting. Voting was the most important thing. That's what separates a citizen from a non-citizen is the vote. So, we gotta really make this happen. One other thing that I just want to talk to you about briefly, if you don't mind, Joe, because you have such a reach throughout the country, you have such a great listening audience, and your show is so interactive. What about all the gun violence? What do you think's at the bottom of that? All of a sudden, you know, in D.C. we have more murder. We have over 200 murders so far this year. It's the highest we've had in a long time. And what is it with all this gun violence? And you know, and parents buying children guns, and this kid from Kenosha, you know, walking into a protest rally and murdering people and then getting off without even a gun charge. I mean, what's wrong with America today?
Look, it's a love affair with guns. I've had guns when I was growing up, my grandfather again came from, and you too, I mean, we're hunters. Yeah. Every person that I have talked about this issue, I have said, look, I they're pro Second Amendment people, but they are responsible. The word that is missing here is being responsible. Even when the Second Amendment was written, folks, they kept their guns clean. They kept their guns they were responsible. They were responsible. I keep using that word, responsible. So therefore, I don't want people to say, well, you're trying to get rid of the Second Amendment. No, I am not. But here's what bothers me. And I'll say this, and I've had it, people are saying it maybe quietly, not so much out loud, except on other programs, and many programs. There are individuals who really think that they can start the second civil war. I mean, I am, and they are out here telling you, I mean, and these are, this isn't, these aren't, the sound is getting louder and louder and louder. And it frightens me, but fear is, I'm not going to give in to fear. And I, quite honestly, young people are hearing the same thing, and they're processing it like young people process adult topics and issues. And so, you know, like in Oxford High School, I lived in Detroit for over 20 years. I ran the NAACP there. I know where that part of Oakland County is. You know, you've got a child that, quite honestly, from what I've been able to read and listen to, you got a child who is reaching out for help, and two parents that really ought to be arrested for child cruelty, and a school system that clearly has a double standard. Because I can tell you that if a African American child or Hispanic child had written and drawn pictures and then called to the principal's office with the issues that he had going on in his head, they would have called the authorities. I can guarantee you he wouldn't have gone back to that classroom. So mm-hmm. there's a, you know, there is a love affair in this country. It has been here since the beginning. It is now in the hands of people who have politicized it to a point that people are just being irresponsible. And then you have that element that is pissed off because they don't run the country the way they want to, and they're willing to take up arms. I always encourage people to listen to a recording by Malcolm X titled "The Ballot or the Bullet." And he talks about the need for a bloodless revolution, but that would take place through the ballot box. But we also run the fear of a bloody revolution. It is that speech right now is more as significant today as it was, what, 50, 60 plus years ago when he gave it. And you can go online and get it. It's titled "The Ballot or the Bullet."
Well, I think that's a great place to leave it. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I have a few last things to say. One is that I wonder if that kid in Kenosha had been black, if he would have stepped away from all those charges. I think not.
Excuse me. Senator Brown, yeah. Let me answer that quickly for you. Yeah. Senator Brown, if that kid had been a black kid and had walked up to a police officer with a freaking AR-15 strapped to his shoulder, they would have arrested him. He lucky wouldn't have been shot, and they certainly wouldn't have given him a water and told him to leave. They come on. I mean, and absolutely. We don't have to. I mean, that's exactly what we know is a fact.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show. I have to tell you that Marilia has texted me and said that she wants you to know that she would join the strike, except she's skinny as a rail and she would probably disappear. And I'd like to, and I can vouch for that. She's really a tiny little thing. She's a former ballerina.
I know she can do something. She can do something. Yeah, and that's the main thing. And with her voice, she is doing something because she's working with you, Senator Brown. And that's important.
Well, Thank you, Joe Madison. We love you. I'm going to start my strike tomorrow. I'll let you know how it's going. Please stay safe, because you are such an important asset in this fight. I listen to your show all the time. It's amazing. And we want to thank you for being on the show. And we leave every week, we end the show with a song, and we dedicate it to our guests. So here, in honor of Joe Madison, is Mariah Carey with the song Hero, because you're my hero, Joe. And thanks for being on the show.
God bless. And make sure you contact Schumer and let him know what you're doing.
I will.
Please.
I'll call him. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with Marillion next week. We'll get the technical things worked out so that you don't have to listen to just me. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
God bless.